Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heard on the Street, Street Fights podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the companies and, more importantly, the people that constitute this sector of media and advertising that we all call local. So where are they from? What makes them tick? What business and life lessons can we draw from that? So I'm Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight, and our guest today is Ryan McMahon, who is VP of Insurance and Government Affairs at Cambridge Mobile Telematics, which processes driving and automotive data for a variety of valuable and localized insights. So we talked to Ryan from our studio in San Francisco about the trends he's tracking and the best practices he's exercising. So here's our discussion with Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike.
So we have a lot to talk about, including diving deeper into everything I just mentioned. But first, let's start with a quick intro for you and for CMT, for those unfamiliar.
Sure, absolutely. I've been at CMT for about 18 months. Prior to that, I came from the insurance industry, which is an area that Cambridge Mobile Telematics Services, CMT, is a 10-year-old company that was born out of MIT. Actually, our two of our co-founders were working on the ability to identify driving behavior and data from mobile phones, even before the iPhones existed and smartphones as we know them today. The company started out of MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab, and from there has grown to be the world's largest provider of mobile telematics and analytics, and we service over 55 different telematics programs around the world, and we're in more than 20 countries working with a variety of customers, including insurance companies. We work with fleet providers, and we also do some work with Vision Zero and mobility service providers to help improve safety on our roads.
Yeah, that's great. There's a lot of things you just said that I think we can have a field day with in terms of a lot of the macro trends that we're analyzing at Street Fight. The rise of big data, the rise of the quantified self movement, and all the different directions that can go, interestingly, residing within the automobile as a data source. So that's really interesting. We'll get into what you guys are doing there, how you're differentiating, and really the outputs of that data and the valuable places it can go. But first, we're going to find out a little bit more about you for context. You mentioned a little bit about kind of your past. You were in the insurance industry before this. So let's hit the rewind button and, you know, tell us about the kind of path, the career path that brought you to this point before we kind of go into the company details.
Yeah, sure, Mike. So I started in the insurance industry right out of school, and I started as a claims adjuster, which is the individual that's responsible if you get into an auto accident, let's say, and you need to get that claim settled and your vehicle repaired. That individual from the insurance company essentially looks after the entire process. So they evaluate if there's coverage or not, they evaluate the damages, and they settle the claim in addition to investigating who's at fault. So that was my first job in the insurance industry. And I don't think that, at least in my history, I haven't met many people that in college or when they were little kids grew up and said, I want to work in insurance.
Right.
It turned out to be a fantastic place for me to start my career. Number one, because it is a very interesting a part of our technology, part of our economy that really gets overlooked. So the ability for people to take risk, for people to drive a car, for people to engage in business is really only possible with the insurance industry. And I got the opportunity to learn that. I got the opportunity to learn that from the ground level, where I started in the claims world and then started working in various areas of the industry from there.
Absolutely. That's really interesting. And you're right about kind of insurance as an area. First of all, I'll say that I have kind of the insurance industry, you know, in my lineage. My grandfather, who emigrated here from Italy in 1905, started an insurance company that is still going to this day as kind of a regional powerhouse in the New England area. But beyond that, you're right. I mean, insurance, it's maybe it gets this bad rap as being this kind of old school industry. But it's kind of sexy again almost because of the fact that it's based on data. I mean, like actuarial work and assessing risk and all of those things are very interesting. And I'm sure that leads into to, you know, the data, you know, because it's based on data, value and, you know, margin can be improved by better data. And it seems like that's kind of what you guys are doing. So I guess that brings us to the present. Let's go one level deeper on CMT. So tell us about kind of the, you know, a deeper view of the company itself in terms of, you know, the product, whom the company serves. I can see probably a lot of potential outputs for the data. But before we get into that, you know, talk about the product itself, the DriveWell platform, and how that's collecting data from automobiles that can then provide some of these informed decisions about insurance policies or actuarial science or all those things. But before we go there, you know, what the baseline of the product.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I think that the interesting thing about insurance is ultimately it uses data to assess what is the appropriate rate that the insurance company needs to charge to carry the risk for an individual and then an aggregate, and to ensure that the company is solvent, that it can pay its bills if claims happen. And the business has always been driven on data, and data has improved over the entire life cycle of the industry. The piece that's really interesting, though, is the question is, can you change your odds? Can you improve the risk? So you, instead of just looking at the data and using it to price, can you take that data and can you take a platform and then change the risk in some way in order to improve it, to reduce the chances that a claim happens, for example?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the baseline of what DriveWell is. So DriveWell is a technology platform that runs on smartphones, and it's as simple as someone downloading an app. It's in various forms. Right now, we have contests that run under our Safest Driver app, so an individual can download Safest Driver and see what contests are available to them. In addition to that, we also have insurance customers that use our technology in a variety of ways. Some of the ways are used to assess risk over a period of time and then put price back to it. But probably the biggest thing and most interesting thing is where we have continuous engagement programs, where someone downloads an app and they can see each drive that they make, and they can see on an area of risk what areas are they engaging in that can lead to crash, and how do they change that? And it's specific to each drive. Each drive is mapped. It's shown back to the user. The user sees if they were using, if they had an event on the trip. Let's say it was a speeding event where they were going 15 miles, for example, over the speed limit in an area. That is shown exactly where that occurred. It also shows acceleration events. So if there's harsh acceleration or dangerous acceleration, it shows braking, it shows cornering, and then probably most important is phone distraction. So our technology has the ability to identify if someone is holding their phone while they drive, or if the phone is mounted, if they're tapping their phone while they're driving. And not looking at any of the apps on the phone, not looking at any of the data coming out of the phone, it's really just looking at the sensors. It's using the accelerometer, it's using the gyroscope, it's using the barometer, it's using the GPS to then determine all those risk factors, how they contribute to an individual, and then how to improve them. So ultimately, over time, we don't just measure risk, but we also improve drivers so we make the road safer.
I think that's a key point right there. It's not just about assessing risk pursuant to, you know, better kind of business metrics and some of the things you mentioned earlier, but also, you know, incentivizing good behavior. And I think that there's been this kind of realization, and I see it more, you know, in the health insurance industry as a parallel, where it seems like there's been a movement towards incentivizing good behavior, healthy behavior, pursuant to then, you know, in the long run, having less incidents that the insurance company is then going to have to pay for. It's almost like a long-term view towards these kind of business metrics. So it seems like there's a very interesting parallel in the auto world towards that same thing. Work towards prevention as opposed to, you know, just using this data to assess risk. Now, is that something that, first of all, is that kind of fairly stated? And second of all, is that new, or has that always kind of been the case in the auto insurance industry?
Yeah, definitely newer. The problem has always been, how do you assess risk at an individual level and then provide feedback to that same individual on a regular basis so that they can then reduce the items that are leading towards those bad outcomes. And until the technology got to the point where it lives on your phone, something that you interact with every day, it doesn't really become part of your life that you can do at scale. And there has been examples of other areas where insurance companies have tried to build incentives for individuals to, let's say, take a safe driving course, or in the commercial insurance space, to have a loss control engineer come and do an evaluation on a factory or look at a various system and figure out what elements are going to cause a fire. So from a driving perspective, though, it's just too expensive for an insurance company to sit someone into a driver's to a passenger seat and see how someone is driving. Yep. And to give them pointers. And the thing about driving too is it's not consistent. You know, in some cases you might be a great driver, maybe that's around town, but when you're commuting back and forth to work in morning and rush hour, there's different behaviors that are exhibited. So driving isn't a linear thing for any of us. And smartphones have really changed the game in two ways. One, it's increased risk for those on the road because, just frankly, smartphones are taking our attention away from the road, unlike anything that has really come into the car before it. Our data actually suggests some really interesting things that we look at. We look at millions of drives on a regular basis for research purposes, and we see smartphone distraction happening on greater than 32-33% of drives. And when that happens, it's for an average of 23 seconds. Mm. So you have an individual that's their eyes are off the road. So that's a new risk factor that's come into the car. So the benefit of being able to use mobile phones as a way to counteract that is, number one, it's with you all the time. And number two, you can see feedback. And the feedback element is the most important thing. So CMT didn't invent telematics, but we did invent mobile telematics. And there was other methodologies that were here before us, looking at extracting data from a vehicle or extracting data from a OBD port or extracting data from other devices fitted to a car. But nothing was delivering regular feedback after every single drive. And similar to the health area, you really need that data on a regular basis. You need to have information on a regular basis relative to your health to then make changes. That's why people step on the scale, right? Yep. Driving, that doesn't exist. So that's the big change, is the ability to assess risk and then give feedback to people with incentives to change behavior.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the technology angle, because my question of, like, is this a new phenomenon to incentivize good behavior? Part of that probably goes into the capabilities itself. I mean, in the last decade at least, the proliferation of smartphones and all the sensors that you mentioned that provide the capability to do what you're doing. And again, the parallel in the health world is now we're seeing more wearables and biometrics, and you know, the smartphone in everyone's pocket, and having it be so kind of richly sensor infused, it seems like provides an underlying opportunity and a baseline of technology to do what you're doing and bring that traditional field of telematics away from the kind of direct car integrations to the kind of computer in our pockets.
I think that's the important element, is it needs to be personal. It needs to be something that people don't just look at as a data extraction. I think data extraction has happened for a very long period of time in the insurance industry. It's probably one of the first places where data was used in a business sense in order to base prices on, because that's the whole actuarial system. The issue with the actuarial system, the issue with that element, is most of those things you can't change. So the technology allows you now to see the things that you can change and to change the risk, and then ultimately you're delivering a value for society, which I think is fascinating, because now as we understand more about what causes crashes in this case, then we can feed that information back to individuals. And I've never met anyone that started the day saying, I want to get in a car accident today. But most of the car accidents that happen on the road are due to human error in some way, shape, or form. Very few of them are as a result of things that happen outside of the vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to pause there for a commercial break. When we come back, more from Ryan McMahon. Hello, everyone. This is Mike Bolin, lead analyst at Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Brandify, which is Street Fight's parent company. It's a local marketing company that provides a range of services for brands with brick-and-mortar store locations. So that's everything from retail stores to restaurants and moving companies and banks and healthcare providers and several other verticals. And Brandify manages the digital outposts where most consumers encounter these businesses today. So we're talking Google Maps and
Facebook, Yelp, Apple Maps, and Bing. And the name of the game is really to create a compelling presence on these sites and apps and to engage with consumers more effectively using advanced reputation management tools. And this is all really compelled by the fact that 97% of consumers regularly search online for local businesses. So brands today can't afford to be missing from all those channels or lack multimedia content or contact information or visible responses to customer feedback. So Brandify synthesizes and optimizes all these channels through a local marketing platform. And it's all about standing out and winning the loyalty and lifetime value of tech-savvy consumers. So to learn more, visit Brandify.com.
So we're back. My guest is Ryan McMahon. So Ryan, before the break, we were talking a lot about CMT and the gaps that it's filling, the important, you know, trends, the important technological advancement that enable it, and really not only using it as a way to assess risk in the insurance industry, which of course is a long-standing hallmark of the industry, but kind of, you know, newer initiatives like incentivizing good behavior based on the abilities of the mobile device. Now, building from that, let's go one level deeper in terms of like the company itself, who it works with. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, individuals obviously use it because that's where the point of data collection happens. But also it's being used by insurance companies in terms of your relationships for them to get better data to assess risks and do all of these things. So tell us about, you know, your kind of the corpus of constituents you have, how you work with them, and pursuant to how CMT actually makes money.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So CMT works around the globe. We are fortunate enough to have customers in 6 of the 7 continents, not so much action in Antarctica at the moment.
Right.
We're working around the globe, and we have insurance customers that we're working with worldwide. Here in the United States, we work with folks like State Farm. We work with Erie Insurance. We work with Liberty Mutual, Safeco, Plymouth Rock, Nationwide, and a variety of others that are essentially are offering telematics services to their customer base. And in personal insurance, which is the most prevalent of our offerings, what happens is the insurance company is offering a discount or a reward program or some type of benefit to an individual to participate in a telematics program. The reason they're doing that is the data shows that individuals in telematics programs have lower loss rates than individuals that are not in those. So that's the baseline.
Yep.
And then they use the information that's gathered to then increase the discount from the baseline. So in some cases, like State Farm advertises up to a 30% discount for participants in their program Drive Safe and Save. That's a huge discount. It's a big deal. So if you have the ability to reduce what you pay on insurance by showing that you're a safe driver, that's incredibly positive for the insurance company, because at the bottom line, the actuarial tables and all the data analysis looks at groups of people, but they don't really know the difference between person A and person B. So if you are able to affirmatively show that you're a safe driver or become a safe driver, like in the, again, back to the example of Drive Safe and Save, which is really interesting, is in State Farm's app, you are using it, it will show you what your discount is going to be for the next renewal period. So you get a baseline discount, and then you can earn higher levels, and it keeps updating as you drive. So as an individual, as a driver, as a policyholder, that type of feedback mechanism allows you to improve over time, which is excellent. So you, number one, you're reducing your risk. The insurance company is providing value back to you and reducing that risk, and it's a win-win for the business.
That's interesting. It's a very strong kind of go-to-market strategy in terms of the distribution through those insurance companies, who are then, of course, incentivizing their users, as you mentioned, to use this. Now, in addition to that, is there an opportunity, or are you already doing this in terms of a direct-to-consumer app that allows people to kind of quantify their driving, perhaps be incentivized? But it seems like that would be an opportunity to seed that behavior even more than the distribution that you're achieving through your, you know, valued partners and customers in the insurance world.
at this time, our consumer efforts are really restricted to our contests, and we've done several contests. We've done two in Boston, we've done two in Seattle, one in San Antonio, and just most recently over the summer in Los Angeles. And what we've done is we've partnered with the city's mayors, the Vision Zero campaign, and brought together an offering to individuals to win money by showing that they can become a safe driver. And just in LA, for example, we had thousands of participants in this program.
Nice.
And we were able to give away tens of thousands of dollars to individuals through our partnership with USAA and the city of Los Angeles for individuals that downloaded the app. They were driving, they got information back on that, and the whole platform actually had some amazing results. We were able to reduce the risk events. We were able to basically improve scores by 44% over 7 days. And even after 35 days in the program, scores improved 30%, which was made up of, for example, speeding. Speeding scores improved 56% over 7 days. So we showed people in the app what data, you know, what the, for sometimes people don't, for some individuals, they don't know what the speed limits are on some of the roads they drive on. Maybe they're just not well posted, or they just don't pay attention. But once you see in the app, you see the information, you need a reason to look at the app, you need a reason to engage. But once you start looking at your driving behavior, then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I didn't know that this local road I was on was a 30 mile an hour road. So We get that information back to individuals. The biggest thing though comes in phone distraction. So in phone distraction, in the case of LA, we had scores improve 60% after 7 days, and it held to 41% improvement over 35 days. Same concept. People don't really know how much they're using their phone while they drive. Once you get that feedback and information to them, now all of a sudden you have an opportunity to improve.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You mentioned Boston, LA, Seattle. Definitely big driving cities, and definitely cities that are known for their gridlock, driving incidents, all of those things. So is that deliberate in terms of going where the most demand is? Or also it reminds me of, like, if you're going to start a marketplaces or an on-demand based business model, you know, a good place to start it is like New York City, because there is the population density to reach a network effect faster. So what are the kind of the reasons for the any of the geographic segmentation or kind of expansion you've done?
Well, we've worked with partners in each one of those cases.
Sure.
So in Boston, that's where our company is located. Our company is actually located in Cambridge, Massachusetts, hence the name. And Boston is right across the river here. So we started there, and it was really a great vision and pioneering between the city of Boston and the folks at CMT to start to put that together. And that's really where it started. And what's great about mayors around the country is it's probably one of the most innovative areas of government, always interested in trying to find new ways to improve cities and able to get things done fairly quickly. So we've been able to work with some of the most innovative cities in America, being Boston, being Seattle, in each case, in LA absolutely as well. And in each case, we had a sponsor we worked with. So most recently in Boston, we worked with Liberty Mutual, where their home base is. In the past, we worked with USAA in San Antonio, where their home base is. Mm. Seattle, we worked with a insurance company called PEMCO, which is based out of there. And in Los Angeles, again, with USAA. So it's really a partnership between individuals that are progressive, thinking about ways to use technology to improve some of the conditions that exist in our backyard, and then also where we happen to be located.
Yeah, that's great. And it makes sense that it's kind of going where the demand is, but more so as a function of the municipal or mayoral kind of initiatives or receptivity. And like you said, where your partners are and in the insurance world, that certainly makes sense. Now back to the kind of, you know, go to market distribution. In these cases where you're working with insurance companies, they are then providing and incentivizing their kind of policyholders to use it. Is it white labeled in that case? Is it something that is kind of an easy tap within their existing app? Or is it something where you have a single app that they are then, you know, recommending the use of?
Yeah, we have three go-to-market strategies in general. We have three go-to-market strategies in general for our customers, one of which is white labeling. And it's probably the smallest of all of our approaches, because what happens in the white labeling case is once individuals start to look at white labeling, then they see all sorts of features that they want to change and adapt and build from. Because honestly, once you start thinking about how do we improve driving and how is it germane to our customer base, then a lot of creativity comes in. So then individuals have the opportunity to use our software development kit, and they can use our SDK to then put it into their app directly. So let's say the corporate app for the company, one example of a corporate app where our technology is directly into is Discovery based in South Africa. Discovery is one of those really interesting companies that has been really forward on the life insurance side, on the health insurance side, on wellness, and then they've brought that same capability to their customers through our technology and being able to do that through improved drivers. So they've really covered all the gamuts. Really one of the most interesting companies on the planet, located in Johannesburg, South Africa, on the insurance side.
Yeah.
But the last thing we have is our tag. And our tag is a Bluetooth beacon. It's roughly the size of a Fig Newton, 2 inches by 2 inches square. And it acts like a toll transponder, essentially. Basically, it sticks to the windshield of the vehicle. And when that's paired with the smartphone, then it records. When you break away from that, so let's say I drive from... Let's say my daily commute is I get in my car, I drive to a train station, I take the train into work. The only part of my transportation method that is being analyzed is that drive to the train station. Because as soon as I break from that beacon, from the tag, then there's no recording happening. So from a privacy standpoint, it limits the data collection to the absolute minimum amount of data required. So not all of our programs use that. It's really up to our customers and what they think is best for their market. But our largest customers are definitely focused on privacy and the ability to make sure that they're measuring only the trips here. The other thing that happens with that tag that's developed over time, launched in 2015, is the ability to detect crashes in real time. Hmm. So we have actually had customers, Discovery is a great example of this again, where they have deployed our technology as an accident detection. And if an accident occurs, they are picking up the phone, making a phone call to the individual. And if they don't answer, if they need help, they're sending emergency services right to the location.
Yeah. And you've alluded to lots of great examples like that, the companies you're working with, which leads to the next question, which is, are there any kind of mini case studies that you have or quantifiable evidence of reducing accidents or anything you want to wrap around that in terms of validating a lot of the stuff we've been talking about?
Yeah, probably the biggest one is the company I was just talking about, because they have Discovery has basically taken their motor arm, Discovery Insure, has taken all of the best type of approaches to helping to educate their drivers, to giving information to individuals, to providing incentives to them as they are driving. And then if someone does get into trouble, getting help to them as quickly as possible. That company recently reported a 60% reduction in road fatalities for their drivers.
Wow.
Versus the South African population at large.
Yeah.
So for the people, the 175 folks or so that work at CMT, it's pretty amazing to know that they're coming to work and they're working on something that literally is saving lives from two angles. One, you're helping people identify the things that lead to crashes. And unfortunately, motor vehicle crashes are one of the number one killers of people, I think the ages of individuals from 15 to 29. It's a number one killer of individuals on the planet, motor vehicle crashes. So if we can help reduce that, the behavior that leads to crashes, that's amazing. And the second thing is, if this crash does happen, time is of the essence. So they have adopted all of those tools, and eventually, you know, their results have paid off. Obviously, their financial results benefit from that as well. But the human piece of that is amazing, that to know that we can actually change the fate of road safety from really very inexpensive technology. That's the thing that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to pause there for a commercial break. When we come back, more from Ryan McMahon.
Hello everyone, this is Mike Bolin, lead analyst at Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Brandify, which is Street Fight's parent company. It's a local marketing company that provides a range of services for brands with brick and mortar store locations. So that's everything from retail stores to restaurants and moving companies and banks and healthcare providers and several other verticals. And Brandify manages the digital outposts where most consumers encounter these businesses today. So we're talking Google Maps and Facebook, Yelp, Apple Maps, and Bing. And the name of the game is really to create a compelling presence on these sites and apps and to engage with consumers more effectively using advanced reputation management tools. And this is all really compelled by the fact that 97% of consumers regularly search online for local businesses. So brands today can't afford to be missing from all those channels or lack multimedia content or contact information or visible responses to customer feedback. So Brandify synthesizes and optimizes all these channels through a local marketing platform. And it's all about standing out and winning the loyalty and lifetime value of tech-savvy consumers. So to learn more, visit Brandify.com.
So we're back. My guest is Ryan McMahon. So Ryan, we're getting into lots of interesting stuff before the break. Going deeper on the kind of companies you're working with, how you're providing value, you're literally saving lives. So let's talk about kind of what's next. I mean, where the company is positioned now, do you see the greatest opportunity for expansion, whether that be functional expansion into adjacent areas of telematics and analytics, or any other kind of functional kind of expansion, or vertical expansion, you know, new use cases, you know, fleet management as opposed to just consumer driving, or just any other areas where this might be kind of underserved?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that's most interesting is the technology and the ability to recreate the situation that happened immediately prior to a crash. The claims process for insurance companies is not excellent. It requires a lot of back and forth between an individual and a lot of data sources, police reports, witnesses. All that information takes time, and that time makes the process cost the insurance company more money, which actually costs the insured, the driver, more money. Which obviously that's how the process works. So if you can speed that entire process up, then ultimately you can save money for the insurance company, make happier customers out of it, and then ultimately reduce costs. So one of the things that's really cool is the technology has been able to advance to the point where machine learning can take all the sensor data in and then actually recreate a machine-generated narrative of the crash. It was probably the most thing I was fascinated about when I first came here, and it's developed to the point where it's now in market and launched and out in the wild. So the ability to actually detect a crash is, you know, we talked about, but now the ability to completely build a narrative around what happened to speed up that claims process is one of the areas that is most fascinating, because now, you know, again, the end-to-end part of the claims process becomes much quicker and customer-focused.
Yeah, it's like the phone is, in addition to all of its other functions, it's almost like a black box flight recorder. Interestingly, one of the hallmarks of the company, as we talked about earlier, is the ability to do risk assessment and behavior incentives on an individual basis, and the mobile device enables that. But what about going in the other direction in terms of all of the great data you're collecting? Is there the ability to glean insights on an aggregate basis? And this gets back to, you know, you work with lots of municipalities. I mean, is there an opportunity to provide data and insights on, you know, logistical systems that could aid or inform, you know, civil engineering or city planning, or, you know, optimal routing of roads and just other things like that could be, I guess, you know, extracted from some of this data in the aggregate?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the first element for us as a company relative to data and privacy is we do not sell data. So yep. The information that we glean is used for one purpose and one purpose only, which is expressly defined specifically as the ability to measure driving behavior and if a crash happens, to be able to respond to that in the cases where that's part of the offering to the consumer. But outside of that, we're not selling data to any party to do really anything, mobile advertising or those type of activities.
Sure.
And we think that that's probably the most important thing as a company that we hold absolutely true to our values. That said, we have had specific contests like the LA Safest Driver, where we partner with the city and we give aggregate information relative to where congestion is happening, relative to the basic information on how to understand better the movement patterns in a city at an aggregate level. So that's the only place where we have provided insights and partnered with cities is on those specific individual contests. On our other programs, our program is specifically designed not to sell data, not to make that data available to a wider base, even though, you know, it may be helpful in those cases. We think that privacy is the most important element that we hold true as a company.
Yeah, and that's great. That's great to hear in terms of the company's kind of values, especially these days when data collection and privacy is obviously very heightened in terms of attention. And I think that, you know, there are definitely good practices out there, such as anonymized, aggregated data. I think even on an individual basis, data collection will continue in the places where it should. I mean, when there's a value trade-off, the problem with the data collection world is it just got out of control, where apps are collecting your data. It's taking your location when it's some mobile game that doesn't need location. So I think when there's an actual organic value trade-off, that will continue. It seems like there's like this just death of data collection. I think that's been overstated, because I think it needs to continue in certain areas. And one of those certainly is a good value trade-off if it is the, you know, the altruistic kind of, you know, pursuit of literally saving lives. So that makes a lot of sense. So closing down here, we talked about, you know, what you're working on at CMT at the moment and looking forward to, and things you're excited about in the near future. What about some of your personal goals for the remainder of 2020?
I think that from a personal standpoint, I spend a tremendous amount of time thinking about how we can get our technology in the hands of more people, because every time I see a car accident or I see some tragedy that involves motor vehicles, I think that there's a way that we have a big role to play with our technology and we can distribute it. So for me, my personal goal is how do we number one, spread the word of what's actually out there, and how do we get more people using things that can help reduce the risk and potentially save their life.
Yeah. That's great. I think that's actually a great way to end it. So that's all the time. I want to thank you, Ryan, for spending time with us.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, and thank you all for listening, and stay tuned for future episodes of Heard on the Street. You can find us on streetfightmag.com, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Also, stay tuned for lots more writings and multimedia from Street Fight. So this has been Heard on the Street. I'm Mike Bullen. Thanks for listening.